Welcome to Equippers Church Dunedin. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Will Levy. For more information, check out equipperschurch.com.
Well, we are not in the middle, not at the beginning, but we are near the end of the full series. As you know, when you have a visiting guest and Easter in the middle of it, it sounds like this thing's been going on. And we are Pastor Will, we're full. Anyway, so tonight we're going to be wrapping up this series, and I pray it's been ministering to your heart and over the previous 4 weeks that we've been preaching into it. And it really is it's a great way to live life full, and full of God and full of God's grace. And so tonight, if you haven't been around, it's the story out of 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1-7, and it's about a widow who has two sons, and there's a debt on their lives. And people were coming to take her sons away so they could pay for the debt. And she reaches out to a prophet, and the prophet comes along and says, "Hey, what do you have in the house?" And she says, "I've got this little bit of oil." And he goes, "Okay, then go and find as many jars as you can." So she sends her sons out, goes to the neighbor's house, gets them, borrows them. And then he says, "Now go into a room and shut the door behind you, and now pour the oil." And the oil kept pouring into every single jar to the brim, full. And it says that the oil stopped flowing once every jar was full. That's you, that's me. The oil will only stop flowing once it's full. And I don't know about you, but I still find that there's areas in my life that I'm empty in. So I've got to believe that the oil's still flowing. I pray tonight, can you believe that the oil is still flowing over your life? And when I talk about the oil, the miraculous power of God, the faith of God, the trust of God, the grace of God, the anointing of God, the whatever area of God you need, that's the area that's being poured. Amen. And so I pray tonight that there's something that's not just going to, I'm going to think about it. It's going to stretch our faith. You know what? I can be full. It's obtainable. Good English word. Help me out. Yeah, it's something. It's reachable for the fullness of God. See, when I'm not sure of a word, I'll make another word up. Come with me, people. All right. So here's the thing: is I want to talk though around the last line, verse 7 of the scripture. It says, "When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, 'Now sell the olive oil and pay off your debt.'" Amen. Amen. Who would like to sell the olive oil and pay off your student debt? Anyone? Sell the olive oil, pay off your mortgage. Sell the olive oil, pay off your parking fines. I don't know. Pay off whatever debt you need. And he says, live on the rest. Here's the thing tonight. I think we've got to understand what the oil represents. The oil represents the sovereignty of God. The oil represents who Christ is in your life. When the miracle happens in salvation, when we understand that Christ was poured out for us on the cross, and we go, "Okay, Lord, I'm one of the jars. I need you in my life. Come fill me." That's the miracle of God. Every one of us in this room one day hopefully has or will figure out you need Jesus. We all need Jesus. The Bible says we all need him in our lives. For the Bible says that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We've all got sin in our life. But when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior, he comes and he pays that price. He pours it out and we live on the rest. And tonight I want to talk about living on the rest. Who wants to live on the rest? Jason did a great message this morning on leftovers. Who loves leftovers? I mean, there's only certain leftovers I like. You know, fish is not a good leftover. No. Pizza, great leftover. Anyway, moving on. Sidetracked right now. Who's getting hungry? So we lost that hour. It's now dinner time, right? Okay. So now that you've experienced the love and the miracle of salvation, how are you going to live the rest of your life? So now we've experienced this miracle of salvation. What next? Well, am I just going to live my life not like how I used to? Am I still going to live my life like just doing my own thing and all that? No, I pray that we just can't live our life like that. That something comes into our life and compels us to want to live our lives more free, more closer, more nearer, drawing close to God. And so I've got an illustration I'm going to share with you in a second. But see, we've still got to live our lives. How are we going to live our lives? But what do you do as we live our lives in a fallen society? Challenges come. We're still living with people around us. People can be mean. Anyone know some mean people? Keep your hands down. All right. We're all fallen. We're still working. We're all works of grace and progress. But here's the thing: we also can be tempted by the devil. We all can also fall into those things. But in James chapter 4, verse 6-8. And he says this, and he gives grace generously, as the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. All right. I've got this example. When we give our hearts to Jesus, where's my amazing model? Here he comes. All right. Don't be shy. All the way from Brazil. All right. Jump up here on this side, please, sir. This is Dallas. Yeah, I'll take the rope. You look. No. I'm doing the illustration. Get over that side. All right. Cool. So this is Dallas. If you don't know Dallas, say hi, Dallas.
Hi, Dallas.
No, Dallas. I said say hi.
I said hi.
Oh, you're okay. All right. So what happens is when we give our lives to Christ, it's like he comes and wraps us up. He's like, hey, okay, I've got you. And it's sort of like, okay, you got to go with me here. It's like putting a harness on you. All right. So God's got a harness around Dallas. He's given his heart to Jesus. Dallas, you can still do absolutely anything you want with your life. You can do absolutely anything. You can just walk over there 2 feet. That would be great. So we can do anything we want with our life. We're still in control of our will. We're still in control of where we want to go, how we're going to live our life, if we're going to be kind, if we're going to be mean, if we're going to be generous, if we're going to be stingy, if we're going to be forgiving, if we're not going to be forgiving. We are still in control, but there's something that God's put a harness around us going, hey, I've still got you. I'm going to work with you and walk with you. Matthew 11:18, I think it is. And so there are situations where God radically changes people straight away, but generally it's a work in progress. Who believes they're a work in progress? Yeah. Amen, right? See what happens? But Jesus says this in John chapter 15, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned, purified by my message I have given you. So remain in me and I'll remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. And so there's this decision. I need a godly man. I've already spoken to him. Come down the front, please, sir. Right. So this is sort of like the vine. And you put that where you need to put it. All right. There we go. And so we're attached now. We're attached to the vine. We're attached to Jesus. And so here's the thing: this is harness. This is only a rope. We know this, and it's attached to. But there's this. Who's the rock climber? Okay, get off the stage. No one's a rock climber, right? Now, there's this thing in rock climbing called belaying. And there's this thing called lead belaying and top rope belaying. Top rope belaying is what you probably have seen at Clip and Climb, how the rope comes all the way down from the top and it goes ahead of you as you climb up the rocks. But then the other way is lead belaying, is when you're climbing up rocks and you're doing life, but there's a point where you get past the highest clip and there's a point of non-safety. Is that a word? Help me out. There's a point where you're vulnerable. There's a point where we've climbed up higher than that, and you can go, and that's what life's about sometimes. But in, when we lead climbing, what happens is we put anchor points into our life. And so let's just read a story about anchor points. Because if we want to live life, and we want to live life in the fullness, and live on the rest, I reckon we've just got to go back to the person who's the greatest example in the Bible. Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. So he was led by the Spirit. He was led full into the Spirit, into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. During the time, the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No. The scripture says people do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Lewis, I need you to be an anchor point, please. Come up, jump up here. All right. So we just read the scripture. Jesus just read the scripture. And so you can just stand up there and hold the rope there. There was an anchor point put in his life. Jesus had an anchor point. He's like, no, he might have been lead climbing, but there was an anchor point. No, when he got tempted by the devil, he had an anchor point in his life. People do not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to a holy city, Jerusalem, the highest point in the temple, and he said, "If you are the Son of Man, jump off, for the scripture says he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God with." You must not test the Lord your God. Raquel, do you want to come up here and be an anchor point? Yeah, I know. I know you're comfy down there. All right. You can do way more than amazing communion messages and play the keyboard. All right. So there's another anchor. Jesus just put another anchor point. He answered with another anchor point. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. "I will give it to you," he said, "if you will kneel down and worship me." "Get out of here, Satan," Jesus told him, "for the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil went away and the angels came and took care of him. You see, there was a third anchor point. "For the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and only him." Jace, it's because I've already chosen Ben to do something else, right? Another anchor point. See, what happens in life if we remain in Christ? See, Dallas can wander and go with what anchor points can sort of go as well. And you can even go off the stage if you want, you know. You can get a little bit of distance between you guys, whatever. You stay there, God. All right, now stop. If we go back to James chapter 4, verse 6, and he says this, and he gives grace generously, as the scriptures say, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee." I need Ben. Ben's acting as the devil. Ben's Ben. Here's the thing is, the Bible says here, resist the devil. So the devil's got to be doing something, right? So, but it says resist the devil. Resist him, and he will flee. Right? Yeah, the devil flees like that. That's awesome. Okay, cool. So here we've got in life, we're going to go through life. There's going to be times where the devil is going to be pushing on you. And let's take away the anchor point. Let's just take one away. You know, and he can all over this, a little bit further, a little bit more dangerous. Let's take away another anchor point. A little bit further. Oh, well, don't take out Raquel. All right. Yeah. Jason is the health and safety officer. Let's take away another anchor point. Oh, okay, ease up. Come back to the middle a little bit. All right, jump back up on here. All right, and anchor points, come back up. See, there's going to be a time. Stand there. Anchor points. Whoa. Too soon. Come stand here. Come on, God, a bit closer. We've got the devil. Hold on. Right, read the next verse. Just read the next verse. So humble yourself before God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Come closer to God, and God will come closer to you. So good. See, what happens is then we can come to a place where we can stand on the edge. And when the devil comes to try and take you out, you can resist him. Why? Because we've got anchor points. Okay. Because we've got anchor points. We've got three anchor points of scripture. Thanks, guys. You guys can grab a seat. Give them a hand. Do we get it? Does that give us a little bit of a visual picture? See, when Dallas was way over there, he'd been given a lot of length. See, God's never gonna hold you back for where you want to walk. Because the devil wants to take you places. The devil wants you to not succeed. We know this on the mandate of John chapter 10:10. But as the far away we sort of get, we wander, well, the more we rely on our anchor points. But when he says, hey, God gives grace to the humble. Humble is when we say, God, I need you. God, I need you in every area of my life. Yeah. And then we saw that gap got closed up and it was a whole lot stronger. Well, it was a whole lot stronger in our life. Come on, when we draw close to God, he will draw near to you. And tonight I want to just focus on those three things that Jesus did. He had three anchor points in his life where he just answered scripture every single time. But they were scriptures because he'd read them. In fact, he'd memorized them. To be a rabbi, you had to memorize off by heart the first five books of the Bible. Yeah. Before the age of 12. Yeah. Right? Crazy. But he was able to draw on those anchor points. He was able to draw on that scripture. Yeah. See now, when God anoints us, God comes into our life and he's, you know, there's a miracle that happens. And he says, now go and live on the rest. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, but we still have also the Word of God. Amen. So there's three things. Number one, know the scriptures say, people do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. First thing tonight is we've got to live on trust. It's a choice to stand on the promise of God. Jesus stood on the promise of God. No, man do not, I'll read it because I'll get it right. People do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Do you know, 40 days of fasting, I'm hungry. Yeah. 40 days of fasting, you're hungry. Yeah. And the devil loves to get us into this, in this state where we just need instant gratification. Yeah. You just take me to anything. In fact, my grandfather was caught in a POW camp, and he escaped, and he went for a number of days without food. Just came across a poultry farm. Just had uncooked KFC. He's never touched chicken for the rest of his life. He almost died. You're that hungry, And Jesus was that hungry, but he went back to an anchor point. He went back to, you know what, I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to choose to stand. See, it doesn't matter what situation we might go through. Jesus wants us to draw near to him, and he'll draw near to us. But we've got to resist the devil. So many times the devil just picks people off or picks the situation off one by one. But let's hear the voice of God, not the voice of reason or the voice of urgency or the voice of easy or the voice of disappointment or temptation, the voice of peer pressure, the voice of accepting everything. If you want to know if the Lord is talking to you, it's through three things. Excuse me. Three things. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. If you want to know if the Lord's talking to you, it'll be filtered through these three things. These three things will last forever. Does it have a sound of faith? Does it have a sound of hope? Does it have a sound of love? If you want to know if the answer that you're hearing, does it have a sound of faith? Does it have a sound of love? Does it have a sound of hope? Then you'll be hearing the Lord. Often we just hear the voice of easy. It's convenient. It would be convenient for Jesus just to have that food then. But he's like, no, people don't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. See, live in trust. Choose to stand on the promises of God. Choose to stand on what the Bible says. Choose to stand on those anchor points. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 through 8. It says this, trust. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunned shrubs in a desert with no hope for the future. They will live in barren wilderness in an uninhabitable, salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made their hope and confidence. The Lord, their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along riverbanks with their roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or the worried by the long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. There's a trust in their heart. There's a trust in their spirit. When stuff comes along, see, there was a debt that needed to be paid. And the widow said, you know what? Man of God, what are we going to do? This is all I have. This is a little jar of oil. This is all I have. This is all I've got. This is all I have. I got nothing else. But she stood. She stayed on a promise. She held on to a promise. She's like, man of God, what do you want me to do? God, what do you want me to do? Come on, let our roots grow down into God's trust. Let trust be number one. Jesus trusted in the promises of God. Number two, it says here when Jesus was tempted again, he says, no, the scriptures say you must not test the Lord your God. Number two, then, the point tonight is live in faith. Well, how do I live in faith? Well, faith is the execution of trust. Where's that harness and that rope again? Well, you don't have to bring it because anyone done those trust falls? We did one in PE when I was in school once, and our teacher she was like standing here, and they had one of those trapeze bars, I think it was, high bar. And so she'd jump out, grab the high bar, fly through us, and as she flew through us, we'd then put our hands up, and she'd drop, and we'd catch her. It was pretty tricky, eh? Pretty cool. But we're just dumb third formers, well, year nines. And what sort of teacher trusts year nines? Let me just tell you, she didn't trust us next time she did it. She jumped out, grabbed the bar, flew past. It's still funny to me this day. We all got detention for lunch anyway. Sorry, I go off track. But trusting God. Can we actually see, trust is the execution of faith. Oh, sorry, faith is the execution of trust in God. It's like, faith is when you just have to trust God. There's no other option. You have to trust God. It's like, we're going to lean back on this rope and hopefully it's going to hold us. That's faith. I'm going to lean back on the word of God and hopefully it's going to hold me. What are the promises in the word of God that you're holding on to and you're leaning back into and going, there's no other answer apart from this word. Yeah. That's faith. Yeah. Faith is not knowledge and understanding of scripture. Faith is executing it, putting it into action. And I want to say, come on, there's oil for you. I love the scripture in Psalm 23. And a lot of people know it. And it says this: He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness. For his name's sake, ye though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they protect me and comfort me. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Who wants to have dinner with their enemies? Oh, I think we've got to look at that differently. He's like, hey, I'll choose Walter. Walter, you come up here, I'll use someone else. This is the day of examples. All right, if you just sit here, please, sir, just sit. There's a whole lot, this life's crazy for you right now. I'm not saying it is, but there's a whole lot of stuff going on. There's this coming at you, there's that coming at you. And why that's all going on, the Lord is just going to prepare a table for you. I don't know what's on the table, but tonight I just chose. I was like, hey, I know there's lots of stuff's going on right now. It's crazy. Life's crazy, but I just want to put a knife and a fork out for you. And by the way, this can cut through anything. Excuse the pun. I'm just going to set this down there for you. You can have a look. Hey, and remember, I've anointed you. I was just keeping everyone alive. Wouldn't make a mess. But I think sometimes we've got to remember what God does. We're putting faith into our life is executing trust. It's like, okay, God, I'm gonna trust you. Lord, I'm gonna trust you. I'm anointed. You've anointed me. I'm blessed. I don't know the situation right now. I actually can't understand it. That's why Proverbs 3 says, do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge the Lord. But what you can do is you can, as much as life is crazy right now and there's enemies all around you, you can just come and sit down with me right now. That's executing trust. Life's crazy. But you're like, God, I'm just going to live with you. Amen. Thanks, mate. You can go. See, living life is just this massive journey of faith. Massive journey of faith, but let's execute faith. Executing faith. There's going to be tension on the rope. There's going to be tension in life sometimes, but I'm going to put my trust in the word of God. I'm going to put my trust in the anointing of God. Jesus did. Last one, and the band, if you guys don't mind, you can come up. All right. Last point. Jesus living his life. Next, the devil took him to a peak very high in the mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory. And he says this, I will give it to you if you kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him. For the scriptures says, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. See, if you want to live on the rest, we live in worship. How do we define worship, though? Because we can worship anything. But I think when it comes to worship, worship is exalting something higher than ourselves. Or worship is putting trust and faith and exalting in something higher than we could, and holding on to something higher than we could ever believe. And there's many things that we can do that, but the only one that has answers is Jesus. The only one that holds us when we abide in him is Jesus. And so when we say we worship the Lord, we don't bow down to other situations. We don't fall to the pressure. We execute trust and we turn it into faith. And then we say, Lord, I'm going to worship you. Lord, I don't know the answer, but I'm going to worship you. I'm going to choose to live my life this way. I'm going to worship you. See, Psalm 34, some of you may know this well, but it says, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Let all who are having dinner in the presence of the enemy take heart. When you're helpless, let's take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. See, when God does a miracle in a widow's life, she wasn't expecting she might have just been expecting that debt to be paid. But the miracle is that our debt has been paid, but we can live on the rest. But we live on the rest through trust. We live on the rest through faith. And we live on the rest through worshiping and exalting our Lord forever. So, question time. What are you prepared to trust God in? What do you need to trust God in? What are we prepared to execute faith over? What situation do you go, okay, Lord, I've got to trust in you. And are you willing tonight to exalt the Lord above any situation? I think that's three ways where we can live on the rest. That's three ways where we can say, Lord, come fill. I wonder tonight where we could all just stand in the room, and I'm going to ask you those questions again. Come on, why don't we stand? And what are we prepared to trust God in? What are we prepared to execute faith over?
Thank you for listening to this message recorded live at Equipus Church Dunedin. We pray that it blessed you. For more information, please check out equipuschurch.com.